God has made mankind the highest form of creation, and these demons are the lowest form of creation. As men, we work hard to get ahead in life. We bet to better ourselves. We study. But in hell, your life is run by demons. These creatures have a zero IQ. Zero. Absolute ignorant creatures. All they know is hatred for God, hatred for you, and torture. I would think that would take a little IQ, don't you think? No, maybe like 6 or 7. No, they get zero IQ. He knew that. And they run your life, and you can't do anything about it. Let me give some more scriptures. Everything just totally out of context. Yeah, I don't want to read too much or I won't get through. And on it goes, he says. That was a terrible thing. To have your life run by these creatures. They have no mercy for you whatsoever. How is it the demons are running things in hell? I thought it was made for them. And now they're running things. And they run your life. So isn't that a giant twist of what they would have you think that hell was made for Satan and these angels would represent? People are screaming all over the place. There were millions. I knew there were billions. Or I knew they were billions. And it was so loud. Well, I bet. You know, a billion people screaming probably would be pretty loud. If you ever heard someone scream before, it can be annoying. Well, if you hear billions of people scream, you can't imagine how it affects your mind. You just can't stand it. You hold your ears because it's loud and penetrating. You can't get away from the screams. And the fear is unbelievable. Everything is dominated by fear. There's no presence of God in this place. So you have to endure the fear and the torment and the blackness. You can't see anything. You can't even see what is coming up against you. But then he goes on, page after page after page, explaining what he saw in hell. You can't see anything. But because I saw this and I saw that, and he had claws, and this one had these razor sharp dorsal fins and all this. But you can't see anything. The fear, I got to tell you, was so powerful. It grips you. If you have ever seen some scary movie where the fear jumps up in your throat, it can take that and multiply it by at least 1,000 and hold it there. That is how you stay all the time. And I know something about fear. When I was young, I used to surf. When I was really young, we were in Cocoa, Florida. I think he means Cocoa Beach. Surfing. I don't know how he's... Honey! Hey, babe. Do you think you can surf in Cocoa Beach, Florida?
No, there are no waves there.
Did you hear what my wife said? No, she said there are no waves there. That's right, baby. There are no waves there. Now, maybe in the middle of a hurricane. But I remember Coco. We spent the night there at a nice hotel one time when we went to Cape Canaveral, the Kennedy Space Center and all that. There are no waves there. But he was there surfing. He was surfing at Cocoa Beach, Florida. And there was a school, parentheses, a group. Excuse me, but I just find it comical, you know. The way it is, you're right, it's like a third grader. There was a school, a group of sharks coming around us. And a 9-foot tiger shark, I guess he had his tape measure with him, and he said, "Now hold it, stretch out there, Mr. Shark. Let me get this head." Yeah, 9 feet. 9 feet shark came up, and he bit my board right in half. I'm thinking to myself, Why don't I believe that? You know, a 9-foot shark is about from here to the wall, okay? Now imagine that, and that means he's fairly slender, you know, 9 feet. You get up 12, 14 feet, they get pretty chubby, you know. But he bit his surfboard right in half. I have seen surfboards that are made out of, I guess, some kind of styrofoam or something. I have seen them where a shark took a bite out of the side. You know, you could see his teeth marks like a little half-moon circle. Actually did bite a piece out of the side of a surfboard. I have seen that already, okay? But why don't I believe a 9-foot shark can bite a surfboard right in half? Huh? Does anybody believe that's possible? Does anybody believe this man is telling the truth? Well, it gets better. I know something about fear. And it grabbed me by the leg and pulled me down. So my leg was in the mouth of this giant shark, 9 feet. Giant shark. I wasn't a Christian then. It was before I was even saved. And all of a sudden, it let me go. I know God opened the shark's mouth. But for a few moments, the fear that comes into you is absolute overwhelming. Absolute overwhelming. We didn't know what adverbs are, but that's okay. If anybody ever saw Jaws, that fear was nothing compared to actually going through it. The fear was terrifying. The guy next to me was just a couple of feet away, and the shark ripped his leg right off. It's in the book. Ripped his leg right off, and they dragged him up on the beach, and blood was everywhere. I said, I could imagine. And he was screaming. He had no leg. I can't tell you how much I don't believe that story. He's surfing where there's no surf. A 9-foot shark bites his surfboard in half. And then it bites his leg, takes him under, but then lets him go and bites off his buddy's leg, bites it clean off. No, I don't think he bit it off. It said he ripped it off. Didn't he? I think he ripped it off. Yeah, he ripped it off. The shark ripped off his right leg. Now, being the devious type person that I am, I said, you know, I don't believe that for one second. I think I would bet most of all that I own that story is not true. So I got on the phone and I called Cocoa Beach, and I wanted to talk to the. I talked to somebody at the Chamber of Commerce, and I asked him. I said, "Has anybody been there a long time? Does anybody know, like maybe 15 years ago or whatever, 20 years ago? There's somebody on the beach there that a shark bit a surfboard right in half and then ripped the man's leg off. Does anybody?" Well, nobody. One person asked him and said, "No, nobody knows that." They said, "Maybe you should check with the Parks and Recreation Commission or something for the area." So I called them and nobody answered. But anyway, I tried. Okay, and I probably this week I will spend a little more time. And if I'm wrong on this, and they tell me, yes, so many years ago, there was a boy here and a 9-foot shark bit his surfboard right in half, and then the buddy that was next to him ripped his leg right off. Well, I'm sure that's in the local newspapers and everything. You know, you could look that up at the library. Does anybody want to bet me that there's no such story in the Cocoa Beach Library? I'll apologize if I'm wrong about that. But you couldn't make me believe that story at the end of a 357 Magnum.
When did Jaws come out?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a pretty old movie now. Roy Scheider died. Do you know what? When they were filming the first Jaws, they filmed that over in Navarre Beach, you know? And one day I'm over there having lunch in the Holiday Inn restaurant. And I'm like, closer than me to Kathy, only 3 feet maybe away. And I said to my wife, I said, honey, what? That's Roy Scheider. And I don't even know if she knew who Roy Scheider was. But he's the star of Jaws, you know. And I was tempted. I was going to say, hey, Roy, I like your movies. but people always bugging him, you know, let the poor man eat in peace. But he was sitting just a couple feet from me, and they were filming Jaws. And I got to see those mechanical jaws, the mechanical sharks, you know, that they had. They had a bunch of them over there, you know, by the side of the motel. Anyway. So, let's see. I was now outside the cell, and I looked in this direction, and I looked that way. I could see. What do you mean I could see? Didn't he just tell us you can't see in hell? Didn't he say it's so dark you can't see anything in hell? Didn't he just say I could see? I looked and I could see? Picky, picky. There were flames of fire about 10 miles away. I knew it was 10 miles. He had his global positioning satellite monitor or whatever with him. And a pit of fire that was about 3 miles across had flames that lit up the skyline. The skyline? The skyline! Enough to see the landscape! The landscape and the skyline. He's in the middle of the earth. 4,000 feet. 3,700 feet in the middle of the earth where the temperature is 12,000 degrees. And he can see the skyline. What sky? There's no sky in the middle of the earth. Unbelievable. The darkness was so heavy, it just eats up the light. But there was enough that I could see some of the skyline. Black sky, and smog was in the skylight. We got a skyline. We got scenery. You can see the scenery. Skylight. We got the landscape. And now we got skylight. There ain't no sky. There ain't no light. Oh, man. Flames were really high, so I could see it. Well, I guess if the flames were really high. There is no light whatsoever in hell. I know you already told us that. How are all these people living? But anyway, everybody's alive. Nobody's dead there. They're all alive, but there's no life in hell. So strange in a world where there's no life. The heat was intense. Then he quotes Deuteronomy 32, they shall be burnt with hunger. He quotes Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah is not in hell. That's what's going on in hell. It is so hot. All these things should kill you, but you don't die. You had to keep enduring all these things. I wanted peace of mind to get away from the screams and to get out of there. It's like when you want to go home at night when you had a rough day. Am I the only one who thinks this is funny? I think this is hilarious. The only pathetic part is that people believe it. This is good comedy stuff. People believe it. And it frightens little children. Damnable heresy to these people. Anyway, yeah, I guess it would be like a rough day at the office. You're also naked in hell. It's just another thing you have to endure. Shame. He gives another scripture on that. And Job 26:6, Sheol is naked before him. That's proof that you're naked in hell, because it says in Job, Sheol is naked before him. That means God can see into hell, so it is observable to him. No kidding. I wonder how he does that. It's observable to God. He can see it. It's in the book. He says he can. But also, you're naked in hell. Just another thing you have to go through, he says. There is no water in hell at all. No water. There's no humidity in the air and no water of any kind. It's so dry, you are desperate for a drop of water. Just one. Just like the scripture says in Luke 16:23. He says, if you can imagine running a marathon through Death Valley and having cotton in your mouth and just stay that way for days, that's how it is in hell. No water. But he talks about Lazarus in hell, and he says he just wanted a drop. I think it's so funny. You know, it says there's a gulf, and it says in the King James, those that would want to come over here can't, and those that would want to come over to you can't. That's not what it says in the Greek. It says ferry. Those who would ferry over. This gulf is filled with water. You can't ferry over a desert. You ferry with a ferry boat. There's water there. I covered that in my... when I went through... Oh no, I got that whole article on Lazarus and the rich man. Anyway, so he says, there's a great gulf that was revealed to me in hell between paradise and Hades, and the rich man saw Abraham afar off. In the natural, how could he recognize Lazarus and Abraham? First of all, he never met Abraham, and then to see someone that far away, you wouldn't really know who they were. But there are just certain things you know in hell. You understand. Do you remember a few minutes ago where we read where he didn't understand where he was or why he was there or what was going on? He didn't understand. Then he says and told us that you understand so much more than you do here, you see? And then he says you don't understand. Then he says you do understand. Well, which is it? Well, he just has trouble sticking to one story. Then one of the demons grabbed me and drug me back into the cell and began all these torments again, which I really hate to talk about because I don't like to have to relive the torment. They began to crush my skull. One demon grabbed me and tried to crush my head. I was screaming and begging for mercy, but no mercy. About that time, each grabbed an arm and a leg, and they were about to tear off my arms and my legs. I thought, I can't endure this. I can't endure this. And all of a sudden, something grabbed me and pulled me out of the cell. I know it was the Lord, but then I didn't know. At another point, Christ comes on the scene, and he said, it's the Lord. He said he was so bright, you know, he was so bright. And here he pulls him out of the cell, and he's so dull, the Lord is so dull, he can't see him. He knew it was the Lord, but he couldn't see him, because he turned from light to dark. Even though the scriptures tell us in him, there's no darkness at all. Now you want a scripture? I'll give you scripture. In him, there's no darkness at all. Yet this Jesus, pulling him out of the cell, was so dark, he couldn't see him. Now, who's the liar? Wow. Okay. I knew it was the Lord, but then I didn't know that. Why wouldn't you know it? If you knew it another time when he comes on the scene. Well, this may even be the same time, come to think of it. So one place he says he was so bright, and he just instantly knew it was the Lord, and he fell down, and here he didn't know it was the Lord. I was there as an unsaved person, so I didn't know these things. But you get all this perception. You know so much. You just know things you would never know here. And here, he was a Christian for 15 years. He had no idea who the Lord is. Does anybody think this man tells the truth ever? My opinion. I just was there as if I never accepted the Lord. I was placed there next to the fire then. I don't know if I commented on it earlier. I think he said that he was taken to hell as an unsaved person. That he didn't know when he was in hell that he was actually a saved person and accepted the Lord and was got the baptism of the Holy Gully or whatever and was a saved person. He didn't know that, he said, because God took it away from him. What? God is deceitful? God take a person who believes in Jesus Christ and take it out of your mind and make you think you're a sinner and don't know Jesus? God would do that? Well, his God would. He said so. Okay. I was standing along the side, that pit. It was beneath a cavern, like a giant cave. With a tunnel. I'm sorry. I'm bad. It was a pit by a cavern, like a giant cave with a tunnel. Could anybody describe what that is? Oh, I thought he was so perceptive and knew everything. Anyway. Alongside the fire, I could see through the flames just enough to see the bodies, people in the fire screaming for mercy, burning in this place. And I knew I didn't want to go there. The pain I'd endure already had bad enough, but the heat of those flames, well, that was worse. These people were begging to come out. There was big creatures lined up all along the edge of the pit. And as the people crawled up trying to get out, they would be shoved back into the fire and not allowed out. I thought, oh, this place is so horrible, and yeah, horrendous too. Horrible, and horrendous. All this is going on at the same time. You're thirsty, you're hungry, and you're exhausted. You don't get to sleep in hell either. You need sleep, just as we do now. Your body needs sleep, but you never get to sleep. Imagine how that is, never sleeping. Absolutely no water in hell. I knew that hell's location is in the center of the earth. There's sky in the center of the earth. I don't think so. That's where it's at, in the center of the earth. I understood that was about 3,700 feet deep in the earth. We know that the earth's diameter is 8,000 feet, and half of that would be 4,000 feet. And I was at about 3,700 miles. I was about 3. What is all that about? Now he gives us a mathematic and geometry geology course here. Okay. Listen to this. He's trying to tell us about the horrors of hell, and he says, I understood it was about 3,700 miles deep in the earth. Now, we know that the earth's diameter is about 8,000 miles. Halfway would be about 4,000 miles. Well, I was about, what is it? I was about 3,700. What is that all about? Childish nonsense. Now, so that's where hell is right now, in the center of the earth, you see. Later, he says, death and hell will be cast in the lake of fire and then cast into outer darkness. That's after judgment day. But right now, it's in the center of the earth. Then he talks about all these monsters and demons and 5-foot spiders and all this stuff in the cave and rats and snakes. In another one, he said, I really kind of hate to even mention this because people find it really hard to believe, he said, but there was one snake, he said, around the corner, as big as a train. Big as a train, he said. So, let's see here, and he says, then he quotes, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in the everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." So he saw these demons chained by the wall, and he said, "I got a scripture on that." So, you know, talks about these angels that were chained to the wall. And then he says, "And so maybe that's what I saw. I don't know." You don't know? He knows everything. He knows how many miles deep he is, for crying out loud. He knows everything. "I don't know, but that's what it appeared to me." Now, shall I tell you why he put that there? My estimation. Because probably, I'm thinking somebody coached him a little bit. They say, "You know, take something where you saw these creatures chained to the wall, then give the scripture where it says these angels are chained, you know, until judgment. Give that scripture. And then say, I don't know, maybe that's what it was. I don't know." Because the people will be thinking in the back of their mind, "Well, yes, of course that's what it was. Yes, of course that's what it was." This is a psychological ploy to get the people on your side, where you say, "Well, I'm not sure." And they say, "Well, yes, he's sure. I can see it. I can see it. Yeah, that's exactly what it was." I see through all this stuff. Trust me, I see through it. I can spot these lying, two-faced hypocrites 10 miles away in the dark.
Ray, did somebody actually publish this for him?
Millions of copies this is sold.
Through a regular publishing company?
Uh-huh.
He publishes himself?
No, a publishing company, I think. Because they like this stuff. They know it sells like hotcakes.
Does he have an editor at all?
I don't think so. If he did, he only knows second grade grammar. Anyway.
It doesn't even have any chronological sequence.
No, you see. I don't know, but that's what I thought it was, anyway. I was so glad they were chained to the wall. I put a comment here. Yes, I guess he was glad they were chained to the wall. If they weren't chained to the wall, they might rip his arms and legs off, or crush his skull, or break every bone in his body, or rip his flesh off over and over again every 30 seconds for all eternity. Yeah, he could be glad they were chained to the wall, all right. Boy, imagine what these would have done to him. They would have probably hurt him. The worst thing, worse, W-O-R-S-E, the worst thing in hell, the worst, W-O-R-S-E, worst thing again, worse, W-O-R-S-E, than all the torments. So you got one out of three right. The worst thing, worse, not worst, was I understood that, first of all, that there was life going on up on the earth, and the people up there, most people, have no idea that this world even existed down here. What? Do the 90% of the people in America who believe in God and the 70-some percent who are Christians never go to church and they never teach them these things? What do you mean that they don't know? That's a pretty strong indictment against the church. Don't you reckon if they don't know? These people don't know? If they don't know up there, what do these people know down here? This is an admission that they don't even know where they are. He was here. Listen, he said, "I was put there." Later he said, Christ told him he was put there so he could experience hell like it really is. That's why he actually suffered the pain, and he didn't just see it like all these near-death experiences, right? He actually experienced everything in hell. God wanted him to experience it. Well, he didn't know where he was. He didn't know that these were demons. And the people there, they don't know where they are either. Now, can you imagine that? God creates billions of human beings, burns them in hell for all eternity, and they don't even know where they are or why they're there. I tell you, we got a job. We have a job ahead of us. I wish we had some more people to help. We could reach a few people. I mean, we're reaching a few now, but not that many. I mean, do you even begin to understand what pathetic spiritual condition this country is in? And the rest of the Christian world. It is just pathetic. They believe this junk. That God Almighty created humanity knowing He would torture most of them inhumanely, absolutely insanely, with such gross and abominable, disgusting things. If God made this place called hell, then in the heart and mind of God, He has got to have come up somewhere with all these damnable things that He's doing to humanity. This is the God they worship. I mean, this is pathetic. I mean, this isn't just a Bible study. Ray showed us. This is disgusting. This is evil beyond comprehension. It doesn't get any worse than this. When intelligent, good-looking young people get up in front of one crowd after another, and now he's going to go on a world tour. I read on one of the sites, and guess where he's going to start? Nigeria? No. Paris? Ain't much to do, ain't much nightlife, I guess, in Nigeria or whatever. My opinion, again, before you come out to sue me, Bill Weiss, my opinion... Unbelievable. Most people, they have no idea this place exists. They don't even know this is a real down here. If they had an opportunity to get out, you know. But they never get a chance to get out. And being mad at themselves, you know, for not taking the opportunity. It's all a matter of chance, you know. You know, he had a lucky break. You know, he didn't take an opportunity. You know, he had an opportunity. You know, he passed it up, and now you just burn in hell for all eternity and suffer these unspeakable evils. And if these people are down here, if they're up there and down here in hell, and they don't know where it is, and they don't know why they're there, and we know they were not sentenced or judged. Well, they were sentenced, but they were not judged. As he already said, that this hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire after judgment. So these people are suffering down here, these inhumane, horrible things, and they haven't even been found guilty of anything. Boy, I just wish to God that one day after Hagee got done, you know, given his seven wonders of hell, he said, hey, well, give me 20 minutes on that pulpit. 20 minutes. Let me talk to the same congregation. And on international television. I'll burn their ears. You're right, I wouldn't last 20 minutes, but if God wanted it, I would. I mean, whose responsibility is it that the whole human race, or most of it, burning in hell, don't know where they are or why they're there? Whose responsibility do you suppose that might be? Who created these creatures? Satan? I mean, I think sometimes people think, you know, you get a little huffy, Ray. You know, you say these people despise the Word. They don't despise. They just don't quite see it the same. No, they despise the Word of God. And they blaspheme the name of God. You know, it says in Corinthians there, the name of God is blaspheme. Not in some little church or some little satanic cult. Among the nations. That's where he's blasphemed. Among the nations. Okay, I've got ten more minutes. You're going to start to cook? Okay. Jesus appears. About this time, I'm going up the tunnel, and I'm just in absolute fear, hopelessly lost, fearing these demons. All of a sudden, it's twice. He said once Christ dragged him out of the cell, but he couldn't see him because he was full of darkness, even though the scripture said there's no darkness at all in God. But anyway, Jesus shows up. Praise the Lord. Jesus showed up. This bright light lit up the place. I only saw his outline, though, the outline of a man. I couldn't see his face because it was so bright. And I just collapsed on my knees, and I was so grateful. We already commented, you know, that, you know, did he know it was Jesus? Didn't he know it was Jesus? The first time he didn't know it was Jesus, but he thought it was Jesus? Nonsense. A second ago, I was lost forever. And now, all of a sudden, I'm out of this place because I had already known Jesus. Those people can't get out, but I could because I had already been saved. I knew and understood that there was no way out except by Jesus. He is the only way to keep from going to hell. When I got my composure, at least enough to start forming thoughts, I thought about saying to the Lord, I don't even think I said it out loud. He just understood it. And he said, Why did you send me there? And he said, because people don't believe this place exists. He said, even some of my own people, oh, no, not some of his own people, do not believe this place is real. Can you believe that? Some Christians don't even believe this place he's describing is real. I was shocked at that statement. I thought every Christian has got to believe in hell, but not everyone believes in a literal burning hell. I said, Lord, why did you pick me? But he didn't answer. I have no idea why he picked me out. So this chaos and horror and let me see. And he said, you know, that he would have to tell the people about it. And I thought to myself, but who's going to believe me? They're going to think I'm crazy, that I had a bad dream. I mean, wouldn't you think? I thought this Lord answered me, and he said, it's not your job to convince them. It's the Holy Spirit's job. You just go and tell them. Then he asked, why did they hate these demons, hate so much and so on, hate me? And he says, because you're made in my image. No, why do they hate you, rather, excuse me. Lord, why do they hate me so much? Why did these creatures hate me? And he said, because you're made in my image, and they hate me. Well, there it is. So here's this man, a Christian, but he didn't know he was a Christian because God deceived him and made him think he was a sinner. And he's in the image of God. We know he's in the image of God. How do we have proof that while he was in hell, he was in the very image of God himself? How do we know that? How do we have proof of that? Because Jesus Christ said that's why the demons hated you so much. Because you're in my image. If he was in the image of Jesus Christ, why would he be in hell being tortured? Unbelievable. Well, yeah, unbelievable. And then God flooded me with his thoughts. He let me touch a piece of his heart. Oh, how he loves mankind. Oh, really? Oh, really? This God of Bill Weiss loves mankind so much that he's going to have demons rip their flesh off, grow it back, rip it off again, grow it back, rip it off again, every 30 seconds for all eternity in darkness, being thirsty and can't sleep in 12,000 degrees heat for all eternity. Am I going too fast for anybody? I'm going too fast for the whole Christian world, I'll tell you that. Going way too fast. Oh, the love of man. You can't take it in this body. Well, it's true, but you know, this idea that this is the God who's torturing all of humanity is just insane. I thought I got to get out and witness and take everybody last and take every last breath I have to go tell the world about Jesus. Of course, I had to publish a couple million books first, and then we're going to go to Paris, and I'll decide where I'll go from there. And he said, tell them I'm coming very, very soon. And he said it again, tell them I'm coming very, very soon. As we left, we went up above the earth's surface. We went above because we were still in a tunnel. So I couldn't see it anymore, but it was like a whirlwind. A giant whirlwind. Yeah, baby, you were not in Kansas anymore. We kept going up. We had to go up to get out of the... to get out of it, apparently. When we got to the top of it, I looked down to the earth, and we were so high, and the curvature of the earth was like that. It's awesome to look back at the earth. I know God allowed that for me. He could have left that tunnel any which way he wanted. He knew in my heart, as a kid, I always wanted to see what the earth looked like from space. Maybe I watched too much Star Trek or something, you know. Yeah, I'm beginning to think maybe not only did he watch too much Star Trek, he actually believed what he saw on Star Trek. And it gave him a bad dream. But I don't believe he dreamed what he said. I just don't believe it. You couldn't make me believe it. I don't know how you could make me believe it. First of all, he contradicts himself all over the place. So which was the real dream, you see? No, he said it wasn't a dream. He said it was an out-of-body experience. It wasn't even a vision. Out-of-body experience. Anyway, we came back down. We passed through the shields. Did you hear that? We passed, coming back from outer space there, you know, we came through the shields. I knew we were passing through the heat shield that was around the earth. He did watch too much Star Trek. I just knew it. I even thought, stupid thought, here I am with God, and I thought, quote, I wonder how he's going to get through that shield. You know how in space they have to penetrate it at just a perfect angle. I'm not lying. It's in the book. At the right angle, we went through it with no problem whatsoever. No surprise. I'm sure the Lord must have rolled his eyes and said, I can handle that one. And there's a scripture on that. So, you know, with them coming back through the shield, the heat shield of the earth. He got a scripture. Oh, yes, he does. Don't laugh. He got a scripture on that. It's Psalm 47:9. Here's what it says. For the shields of the earth belong to God. Now there it is. Now there's scriptural proof. And here's a man who doesn't take scriptures out of context either. Much. Not. Then he says, We came over California, and I saw my house, and then I saw my body through the house. He said he could see it. And I'm going to skip over here. Are you ready yet, hon, to put that in? Oh, gosh. Okay, I'm hurrying. Okay, right then, he left. Okay, so he brought him back to the house. Okay, and then he knew for sure. He said, this is my body. That can't be my body. How can I have two bodies? I have this body, and there's my body in the house. You know, and then, right then, when he left, that's when all the fear, the torture, and the torment came back into my mind. Because it says in the Bible, perfect love casts out fear, 1 John 4:18. So I was next to perfect love at that time. See, I was next to Christ, who's perfect love, and it cast out all fear. But now he left, see? And now the fear is coming back. So that he left me, And when he left, all of a sudden, all the fear and the horrors of hell entered my mind. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it. I was screaming. I was in agony. I couldn't live with it. I knew my body was not capable of withstanding that kind of fear. You can't hold up under that kind of pressure. You can't. You're not strong enough. So that's when I prayed, and I was able to pray. Take it out of my mind. That's what he prayed. In the natural, you could not go through that kind of... you'd have to go through all kinds of counseling to get through this kind of trauma. But God took it out, instantly took it out, the trauma. He left the memory, but he took the trauma and the fear out. I was so grateful. What? Didn't we just read when his wife found it? He was filled with trauma, screaming, filled with trauma, so traumatized, so filled with trauma, so screaming and filled with terror and trauma. Didn't we just read? Didn't she tell us that? God took it away. And this is before his wife got there. He took it away, and I was so grateful. And how did his wife find him? Screaming in trauma. This lying turkey. That's enough. You know what? I'm through.
Thank you.
that is so disgusting. I mean, that really is disgusting. That is just so pathetic. It's just unreal. Thank God that we have a little bit of a glimpse of what the Scriptures are all about.